All right. Brother Travis, I've got some extra outlines here if there weren't. We're on our second section of Proverbs chapter 8, so you should have your notes already, but if you missed last Sunday, we've got a few extras there. We are in Proverbs chapter 8, and we're continuing our study of wisdom. You might think that 8 chapters on the same topic might be a little bit redundant or might be overdone. But I don't think you can have too many chapters in the Bible emphasizing the need for wisdom. I don't often do this, but this morning my schedule is a little different. And I turned on the news. Bad thing to do on a Sunday morning before you go to church. Turned on the news and I saw 3 stories, boom, 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 one after the other. A man beat his 5-year-old daughter to death because she wouldn't do her homework. The next one was a grandmother that with a shotgun killed her 2 grandkids. The next one was them discovering a body in a storage unit and she was killed by an estranged husband that was fighting her for child custody. And I thought, that all happened on Saturday. All right, this is Sunday morning. That all happened on Saturday. Number one, that's why I don't watch the news. It's depressing. Number two, that shows that what we need in this world is not better politicians and not a better economy and not a bigger military, though a lot of those things I understand were the thing. What this world needs is Jesus Christ. And what this world needs is the wisdom that He gives. As we look in the book of Proverbs, we're finding that wisdom and God are very closely connected. Wisdom is not God, but God is wisdom. And in a world that has departed from God, they have departed from wisdom. Therefore, on the newscast, we're seeing one tragedy after another. And, you know, Sonia and I were talking on the way, and the problem in our modern society is our technology. Is those 3 things happened in different states across the United States yesterday. But we get all the news just like that. In an instant, we know what's going on all around the country. Used to be 50 years ago, if that happened, it was a local event. Nobody outside of your area knew it. But now everybody knows it the minute it happens. And it just seems so big and so extreme. I'm not sure it's any bigger than it's ever been, but the publicity it gets is much bigger. And the problem is that this nation, this country needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the preaching of the gospel, and it is the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is the only hope that we've got. And yet here we are on Sunday morning. Look how many folks are in here compared to our community and our society. And there's the root of our problem right there. People are going to live without God. And without God, there's no wisdom. So 9 chapters on one subject, yes, that's reasonable. Because if those 9 chapters were put into practice in our society, we'd turn on the news on a Sunday morning and hear of no brutal murders and no bad things happening. But the problem is the lack of God and therefore the lack of wisdom. All right, we're looking at wisdom's patience in chapter 8. And just to quickly review what we've already looked at, we saw in verse 1 to 9 that wisdom is available to all. And that was verse 1 to 9. We saw where wisdom stands. Does not wisdom cry and understandeth put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places. Again, she stands in public. Wisdom is not something reserved for those behind closed doors. It's not for the intellectual or the politically elite. In fact, they're the ones that need it most and have it least. So wisdom is available to all. Where wisdom stands, let her be. Who wisdom seeks. And again, unto you, O man, it seeks everyone. It's available to all. Then we saw why wisdom summons. Her words are sound in verse number 7. Her words are straight in verse number 8. And her words are simple in verse number 9. Then we started last week on Roman numeral 2. Wisdom has riches that are real. Verse 10 to verse 21. That's the section that we're in as we pick up this morning. We've already looked at letter A, wisdom's value. Receive my instruction and not silver. Knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to her. So wisdom's value, greater than silver and gold and rubies. Then we looked at wisdom's virtue, and that's where we're on. We began this in verse 12 and 13. Wisdom's virtue. Good morning.
Morning.
It is good to see you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Wisdom's virtue, verse 12 and 13. Number one, where, most of you, if you walked in, we wouldn't say a word. But with what he's been through the last 2 or 3 weeks, that's a blessing to see him walk in the back door. We're glad to have him here. Wisdom's virtue, number one, where she dwells. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Travis, did we have another one of those? Do we have any left?
I played the last one.
Okay. Bill, there's one out there. I don't think, you don't have Proverbs 8, do you?
Yeah.
Do you? Oh, you got him already. Good. Where wisdom dwells, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Remember what prudence means. It means cautious, circumspect, practically wise. Wisdom and caution are twin sisters. When you have wisdom, you will be cautious. When you have wisdom, you will choose your words carefully. You'll be careful what you tweet. You'll be careful what you email. You'll be careful what you say when you have wisdom and prudence. All right, what she does, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. This is kind of where we left off last week, what wisdom does. She finds out the knowledge of witty inventions. All the inventions of mankind have come through folks that had some wisdom. Whether it was inventing the light bulb, whether it was creating the flying machine, whether it was inventing the pet rock. No matter what it was somebody that had some insight and some wisdom in what the witty inventions that they created. But I think there's another way to look at this verse, and that's fine, and that's simply this. God with his wisdom knows every witty invention. Sometimes the inventions of men are not good. We're reading a lot today about how scientists are now finding a way to create, they say, create human life in a laboratory. Or to clone. Or to take brain cells from somebody that's been dead and reproduce them to try to make somebody alive. And all that kind of stuff, that's scary. That's all this science fiction stuff people have been hooked on for so long. And the Lord has the knowledge of these witty inventions. And I have a feeling he's going to make all that come to naught. No matter what man tries to invent or man tries to do, God knows about it. So what wisdom does. Then number three, and I think I just gave you the word as we closed last time, what she detests. What she detests, all right? There are some things that wisdom hates. Now, can you get that word down? Hates. There are some things that wisdom hates. There are some things that God hates. Yes, God is a God of love, and thank God he's a God of love. It's his love that sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. But we need to reconcile the fact or accept the fact there are some things that God hates. Don't let this compromising, liberal world that we live in, especially in religion, sell you this thing about God just being a big lollipop in the sky. There is a God of judgment up there. There's a God of justice. And there's a God that hates sin and hates evil. And notice in verse number 3, or verse 13, excuse me, number 3, what she detests. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. To hate evil. You know what our problem is, folks? You know what your problem is? I'm going to tell you, aren't you glad you came this morning? You're here so I can tell you your problem. You don't hate evil. I said, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I know that because I don't hate evil. I mean, we do. Those three cases I gave you of those brutal murders this morning, yes, we hate that. But you know what we put up with a lot of? We put up with a lot of evil. Because either one, we don't want to contend with it. Or number two, we're not bothered by it. I guess, you know, the television and things like that are our biggest sign. We've talked about that before. We would not allow someone to sit in our living room and cuss and swear. But we'll sit there and watch it on a television set. We would not allow someone improperly dressed in our house, but we'll watch these things on television where things are just immoral I can't think of the word I want. But it's bad. All right, it's evil. Now that's just one example, and most of us try to control those things. But the problem is we don't hate evil like God hates evil. And so the Bible says that wisdom detests it. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Notice what that evil is. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth. And again, there's where that autocorrect change froward to forward. So you need to change that again. They're the opposites. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way. Or is it correct on yours? No, okay. I tried to catch them after I did mine and reproduced them. And the froward mouth. Again, forward is straight ahead. Froward is off the beaten path, going off in a different direction. Pride and arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth, the Lord says, do I hate? Hatred of evil comes from a wise heart. Hatred of evil comes from a wise heart. It is a divine heart, because that's the heart of God. He hates evil. We can put wisdom on one side of the line. We can put pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth on the other side of the line. The two are not compatible. You can't even mix them like oil and water. Oil and water you can try to mix. You can't even try to mix these two things. Wisdom is not compatible with pride, with arrogancy, with the evil way, and the froward mouth. That's why there's so much wisdom lacking in the world today. Because there's so much pride and arrogancy and evil and froward mouth. What she detests. These all talk about wisdom's virtue, verse 12 and 13. Let's go down to letter C. We look at wisdom's victory. Wisdom's victory, verse 14 to 16. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. To rule with impartiality is wisdom. To rule with passion for justice and fairness is wisdom. I've said this before, I would not in my greatest ambitions desire to be a judge. A federal judge, a Supreme Court judge, to make the decisions that affect millions of people and have to determine the legal boundaries of right and wrong. You know, it's so easy for us to find the faults and the problems, but it's very difficult for us to come up with the solutions. And having that balance, having that right thing, and knowing to rule with impartiality, rule with passion for truth and justice. The Lord said, wisdom says, counsel is mine. And sound wisdom, I am understanding. We cannot understand anything without wisdom. I have strength. By me, kings reign. Now, what do you say? Have there been kings that have reigned that were unwise? Absolutely. Biblical example would be Rehoboam, and we've talked about him a lot on Wednesday nights in our Old Testament Bible survey. Rehoboam was the king responsible for the division of the two kingdoms in 2 Kings. And that story in 2 Kings affects all the rest of Scripture all the way to the book of Revelation. We talked about that in 2 Kings, why that book is so important and what it sets the tone for the rest of Scripture. But wisdom's victory, he says, kings reign and princes decree. Well, there's a king, Rehoboam, that followed the counsel of the young man instead of the counsel of those older men that had counseled his father. And by that unwise decision caused a division in the 10 tribes from the 2 tribes that carry all the way over into the tribulation period and the millennial kingdom. That was an unwise decision. So what does it mean that by me kings reign and princes decree? It means that everything that kings do right, they do on the basis of wisdom. Everything that a prince does right, he does on the basis of wisdom. Everything the nobles and the judges do right, they do on the basis of wisdom. These need wisdom above and beyond anybody else. When we look at the qualifications for somebody for one of these offices, a king, a prince, a noble, a judge, you know what we need to look for? The qualification of wisdom. But how many times, the next elections will be coming up, and how many times are you going to hear the news media say, well, this person is wise. That's not going to be anything that comes up. Not going to, when, about their background and their history and their accomplishments and even their failures, they're going to talk about that, but nobody's going to emphasize wisdom. Nobody's going to be looking for that. And yet that is the thing that the Lord says, that's how people reign righteously. By me. Counsel is mine, wisdom says. Sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Wisdom's victory. Then letter D, verse 17 to 21. Wisdom's voice. Now wisdom has been speaking since verse number 12. If you look at the chapter, Solomon is writing in verse 1, doth not wisdom cry? She standeth in the top. Verse 3, she crieth at the gates. Unto you, O men, I call. O ye simple, understand wisdom. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. But in verse 12, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. So there's no doubt wisdom is speaking here. But when we get down to verse 17 to 21, we hear strongly wisdom's voice. She says in verse number 1, or verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Whom wisdom loves. Whom wisdom loves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's love is universal. Wisdom's love is not. Wisdom is available to all, but wisdom doesn't love all. What does it say? I love them that love me. Now again, here's where wisdom and God, again, God is wisdom, but wisdom is not God. We're going to see this more as we go on in the next few verses. There's a close link between the two, but they're not the same thing. God's love is universal for all people. There's no one whom God does not love. But wisdom's not that way. Wisdom loves those that love her. I love them that love me. In verse 13, it told us who wisdom hates. All right? The proud, the arrogant, the evil, the froward. But now we find out who they love. Those that love wisdom, wisdom loves. It should be our daily prayer for wisdom. It should be our constant thought for wisdom. Wisdom is not just necessary when we're making important decisions in our life. It's not just the important decisions that make us who we are. Everything we do makes our character. And so everything we do should be found with wisdom. And yet we don't pray for it. We don't ask for it daily. We don't seek it. And here's what he's saying. I love those that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. We can put it this way. Love is, our big word, reciprocal. Now, this is not in the outline, but love is reciprocal. In other words, you love wisdom. Wisdom is reciprocal. You love wisdom. Wisdom loves you. You hate wisdom. Wisdom hates you. You set wisdom aside. Wisdom sets you aside. Again, this is not how God works. This is how wisdom works. It's available to all, but only those that seek it and love it receive it. Oh, that we might be those that would seek and desire wisdom. It's a two-way street. Wisdom is looking for us. We need to be looking for it. Wisdom will seek you, but if you show no interest, it will turn away. That's why wisdom is so important. So we see the wisdom's voice, whom wisdom loves. Then number two, in wisdom's voice, we see what wisdom lavishes. L-A-V-I-S-H-E-S. What wisdom lavishes. In other words, when you seek wisdom, wisdom is going to bestow upon you its treasures. Now, don't measure treasures by dollar signs. Don't measure treasures by possessions. Some of the wisest people that have ever lived were not men or women of means or of wealth. But when you have wisdom, wisdom lavishes something. Notice it says in verse number 18, riches and honor are with me. Riches and honor are with me. And durable riches. Riches and honor are with me. Men have accumulated and lost great riches. But when you're wise, you don't lose them. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable. There's our word, durable riches. Wisdom's riches do not decay. Wisdom's riches do not rot. Riches, wisdoms do not fall away. They're durable riches. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Durable riches. Some folks have died as paupers, but died with wisdom. And that wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. That wisdom will always lead them to Jesus Christ. And they have durable riches. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, and my revenue than choice silver. What wisdom lavishes! Riches, honor, durable riches, righteousness, fruit that's better than gold, revenue, and choice silver. This is a good time. It's April 7th. It's a good time to talk about revenue. The IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, he says, my fruit is better than gold, and my revenue. We're not investing in the IRS, but the ERS, the Eternal Revenue Service. By wisdom, we're laying up treasures in heaven. By wisdom, we're getting that which is better than gold, and revenue that is better than choice silver. I saw something last night, I think it was. It was a program about ancient coins. Not ancient, I mean American coins, the 1800s. These big dollars that were worth it, how many of them are still out there and all that kind of stuff. And you imagine how many people have had one of those pass through their hands over the times and over the ages. Those coins that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars now. It's just a little dollar, but it's worth so much. And those whose hands those passed through during time that didn't think to hang on to them, didn't think to save them. We've had this discussion so many times with my friends when I was in junior high and high school, and we're talking about the late 60s, early 70s. I was a baseball card collector, and I had a box of cards that dated back to the 50s and the 60s, Mickey Mantle and Yogi Berra, their rookie cards and all that. And you know what we did with them? We used clothespins to put them in the spokes of our bicycles. We flipped them and traded them off by whoever, you know, you flipped them if they're heads or tails, and three people and the odd one out lost the cards to everybody else, and we treated those cards just like anything else. And I remember when I found out 20 years later what those cards were worth, I tried to go back and get them, and I'd forgotten I'd given them away. I outgrew them. See, when I graduated and went into the service, I thought, well, I'm too old now for these cards, so I gave them away to a friend. And now I look at what those things were worth. What some of those cards in there were worth. That's riches that just passes through our hands. A wise person right there would have said, you know, these might be worth something someday. But riches pass through our hands in this life. Durable riches are the things that wisdom puts in our path that are not, they're not measured by dollar signs. They're not measured by baseball cards. They're not measured by things like that, but measured by fruit that is better than gold. And revenue that's better than choice silver. What wisdom lavishes. We have more in the Lord and in walking in His wisdom than the world could ever offer. Number three, under wisdom's voice, where wisdom leads. Where wisdom leads, verse 20 and verse 21. Where does wisdom lead? Well, verse 20 says, I lead in the way of righteousness. How can you spot somebody that's on wisdom's path? They're walking in the right direction. They're walking in the right way. They're doing what the Lord wants them to do. They're avoiding the things of the world and the things of sin. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. You know what wisdom's saying? I will never lead you wrong. I will never lead you wrong. We've got relatives or friends, co-workers, that would lead us wrong. We've got neighbors, acquaintances that would lead us wrong. But wisdom says, I never will. I lead in the way of righteousness. I lead in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Here's that love, if you love him. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. You say, well, I haven't inherited substance. Does that mean I'm not wise? Well, again, the greatest decision you can ever make in this life, the wisest decision is to trust Christ as Savior. And if you made that decision, you say, well, I haven't inherited substance. Hang on. It's not over yet. It's not a matter of what house you live in here and what vehicle you drive down here and how much money's in your bank account down here. That substance you're going to inherit hasn't been inherited yet. That's not talking about your grandfather or your great-grandfather passing away and you getting something down here. That's an inheritance that's eternal. And he says, and I will fill their treasures. Wisdom in this life will prevent a lot of embarrassing moments in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. Wisdom will guide us now. Wisdom will fill our hearts with treasures. Though that gold and silver, or that wood, hay, and stubble that'll be burned up. You know why that's burned up? Because there was no wisdom involved. But the gold and silver and precious stones will be there because of wisdom. Where wisdom leads. All right, that teaches us that wisdom's riches are real. Then number 3, verse 22 down to verse number 36, we find wisdom's influence is infinite. Wisdom's influence is infinite. Not eternal, but infinite. There is no corner you can turn where wisdom can't affect and can't assist and can't help. Notice in verse number 22, and I like these verses from here to the end of the chapter, especially verse 22 down to verse number 30, I guess, 31. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. His voice, this is again his voice continuing, wisdom is speaking. The Lord, and he says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. How long has wisdom been around? Is it a new invention? Is this great amount of wisdom just based on our technology now? We can have so much more wisdom than anybody else had before. No, I think the technology probably gives us less chance at wisdom. Because we find our answers through technology instead of seeking the Lord. So he says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning. Notice letter A, we're talking about wisdom in the past. Wisdom in the past. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Number 1 is in the remote past. Verse 22 to verse 26 are talking about before creation. Before creation, wisdom was there. Notice it says in these verses, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, notice these words, I was brought forth. A lot of the commentators I read and studied like to put the connection of wisdom being the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus being wisdom, that everything it says about wisdom was said of Christ. But there's a problem there because Jesus Christ was never brought forth. He is eternal. Wisdom is not eternal. Wisdom is infinite. And there was a time when wisdom was brought forth. All right? God has wisdom. God is wise. And there was a day that that wisdom came forth from him. And he's talking about it. When was it? It was in that remote past. There was a time when wisdom basically was created. And that was before the creation. Because by wisdom, God created the world. So wisdom preceded the creation of the world. And that's what wisdom is talking about here. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. Wisdom's been around a long time. It's been available for a long time. Solomon asked for wisdom, and he became, according to Scripture, the wisest man that ever lived. But wisdom did not originate with Solomon. Wisdom was there before Adam. Wisdom was there before the creation. It was there in the remote past. Then number two, it's there in the recent past, verse 27 to verse 31. It's there in the recent past. Now again, remember Solomon's writing 2,000 years ago. But wisdom says this, when, there's the first word in verse number 27, when, the recent past, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. And the sixth time the word shows up, when he appointed the fountains of the earth. When is the key verse in, or the key word in these verses? And it shows us there was a point and time when God created all these things. When the heavens, when he prepared the heavens, when he sent a compass upon the face of the earth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. There was a point in time, the universe, or the earth, the world is not universal. There is a time when God created it. Scientists used to say, have a theory, before the theory of the Big Bang came around, it was this theory of the steady state. And that was that everything has always been. Nothing, it's always been here. The earth has always been here. That's what scientists believed before the Big Bang theory. Then they switched directions completely with the Big Bang theory and decided there had to be an origin because they couldn't maintain that it had always been here. There was too much scientific evidence that it has not always been here. So they changed their theories to the Big Bang theory and then taught for years that that's how it came into existence. Now they're teaching the expanding universe theory that is getting bigger and bigger all the time. Wisdom says, I was there from the beginning. I was there when he made it. There was a beginning to it and there's going to be an ending to it. It's not eternal. It had a beginning. It's not expanding. It's going to have an end. It's not going to get out of the reach of the earth where we have no control and things just move out there. No, it's all going to come to an end one of these days. The heavens and the earth are going to be dissolved with a fervent heat. All these things will be destroyed, but wisdom will continue on. Wisdom in the past, letter A, letter B, wisdom in the present. Wisdom in the present. Again, the key word in verse 27 to verse 31 was when. Verse 32 says, now, in the present. Wisdom in the present. Now, therefore. Again, whenever you see the word therefore, you look to see what it's there for. Making reference to what he's just said. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children. For blessed are ye that keep my ways. This is again wisdom speaking. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, wisdom says. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life. All right, again, the beginning of the fear of wisdom is the beginning of wisdom is the beginning of knowledge. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Whoso findeth me findeth life. Whoso, again, it's available to all. Anyone, everyone. Whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13. The Lord says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall seek for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. When ye seek for me with all your heart. Wisdom says something similar. You'll find me and you'll obtain favor of the Lord. I don't think I gave you the word. Number one is her compensation. Her compensation. If you find her, you find life. and obtain favor of the Lord. And then finally, number two, her condemnation. And that's very clear in verse 36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Again, this is not God speaking, this is wisdom speaking. Wisdom says, if you sin against me, you wrong your own soul. The only one you're harming is yourself. The initial person you hurt is yourself when you don't seek after wisdom. All they that hate me love death. I knew a man one time that was teaching that verse and said that's talking about suicide, that if you commit suicide, you don't have God. Well, number one, Samson did. He committed suicide and he had the Lord. So that's not what the verse is teaching. Again, this is wisdom speaking. Saying when you don't love me, you love the ways of death. You love the things of death. So we see her condemnation. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All of this speaks about wisdom's patience. It's available to all. The riches are real. The influence is infinite. But those that love me shall find me, wisdom says. Father, thank you for this chapter, Proverbs chapter 8, and all the information. And Father, I pray you just burden our hearts to desire wisdom. God, above all the things that this world has and has to offer, Father, may we seek that wisdom that comes from you and you alone. Not wisdom that comes from learning and education, but Father, that wisdom that comes from God. Bless our morning service, those that come to join us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a short break and we'll begin our morning service.